All right, give it up for those kids. We forgot to clap there at the end. Merry Christmas. So good to see you today. What a great day to hear that story today, right? That's the greatest story that's ever been told, the story of the birth of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today that you slow down during your Christmas season and make sure you read that story in your home. Pull out your Bible, dads, grandpas, whoever's the head of your house, and read that story in your homes. That story is the story that matters. That's the story that we tell and retell every year. And it never gets old, right? It never gets old. Well, I'm Pastor Brian, and my wife, Pastor Lynette. We're the pastors of Kingdom Church, and I want to welcome Pastor Albert and Jenny from Gateway City Church over here. We've been doing church together over the last several months as they're building out their facility, and we've been so honored to have them share this place that God has blessed us with. So today we thought, hey, let's just do church together. And so there's some of their team here on the worship team. They'll be serving. And we're just together, right? That's what church is all about. It's why we call this place Kingdom Church, because it's a kingdom thing. When we think about church, it's not our place, it's His, and it's the kingdom of God that matters. Pastor Lynette's giving me the signal, my collar's flipped up or something. All right, hey, I want to say a special welcome or thank you to everybody that got involved with Operation Cover Up. We've been donating blankets. This Tuesday, we're going to be dropping those off, but there is a pile of blankets out there again today. So thank you for being a part of that. We'll be distributing those, and we'll share the results of those next week with everybody. And I just want to encourage you to slow down this week. I know tomorrow's Monday, and maybe some of you have to work, and it'll be busy rushing into the Christmas time, but I'm hoping you all are off on Wednesday, and make sure you slow down. Don't be so busy that you can't take some time with your family, maybe take a nap or go on a walk. Who's up for a nap? I could use a nap for a week, right? This Christmas season, we've been sharing some thoughts from God's Word about helping us get through the holiday season when it comes to things like anxiety and depression. That was a real winner on week one. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about how God gave us the gift of reconciliation, amen? That when He sent Jesus, He made a way for you and me. And that He left us with the ministry of reconciliation so that we can help others. We can tell them the story of Jesus and who He is. And I love that. That's the best gift of all, amen? And then last week, we talked about it's time to have a party. For too long, we have stopped celebrating the real reason for Christmas. I know y'all get together and have some great get-togethers and food and celebrations, but it's important that we remember that we celebrate the birth of a Savior. We celebrate Jesus. We heard it today. We read Luke 2, 1 through 20. We get to celebrate that. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you have some fun during this Christmas season and celebrate with your family and your friends and open some gifts. Amen? Well, today we're going to talk about lights. I'm going to tell you a light story. And I know some of you have come to our neighborhood. We live in Agritopia. And for some reason, our street now has become renamed Candy Cane Lane. And there are so many lights on our street. And I don't know what it is. I was thinking about it because no one goes to the streets that are completely darked out, right? No one goes, hey, let's go to the neighborhood that's all blacked out. Right? No, they want to go to the neighborhoods where there's lots of lights and it's bright, and they want to see the lights because there's something magical about lights when you see them. It's just something about lights that make it an exciting time of the year. And we've called our series of the theme of this Christmas season here at Kingdom that the light has come. And I believe that God is asking us to slow down and remember that the light has come, that the prophet Isaiah declared a prophetic word 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 9:2, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. It says that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. He was He was being Captain Obvious to a time when there was darkness all over the world, but he was saying that to you and to me also. That in seasons of darkness, in times of darkness, that he was declaring that someone, that Jesus would come and it would be the light unto the world. A light that would remove all of darkness. And today, I know that title could be a little confusing. If you're driving by or you follow us on social media, it says the light has come. You might be saying, well, what's going on? Did the church not pay their power bills? Do they need some help? Do they need a special offering because the lights are out? And do they need more lights? And they don't get it because we don't. It's not that kind of light. But it's a good question to ask. What is the light? And why is the light necessary? And so in context, Jesus, after he spent time in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, there's the story of him, and he begins his ministry when he returns from the wilderness by quoting this scripture from Isaiah. See, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he introduced the light, and it was tied to his birth, and it was tied to his ministry. See, both the light are for then and for now. They are about what we do. It is about the gospel message. And the Bible talks about light from beginning to end. It is a theme that we find from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 1, 3, 5 says, "And God said, let there be light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning on the first day." And in Micah 7, 8 says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Psalms 27, 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalms 119, 105 says, "The Lord is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path." Acts 12, 7, the story of Peter, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands." And Acts 9, 3, when Paul was called, it says, "As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him." See, the Bible is full of stories of God's creation of light, both natural, both physical, but also both spiritual. And he is telling us that we need both those kinds of lights in our life. And most importantly, we need the spiritual light of Jesus in our lives. Isaiah 9:2 is the setup to Isaiah 9:6. Pastor Miguel read 9:6 to us, and for unto us a child will be born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. See, the light was the introduction to Jesus. It was bringing us to exactly where we needed to be. And John declared this about Jesus in John 1, 4 through 5. It says, "In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then Jesus declared this about himself in John 8, 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Amen? Aren't you glad that we have the light of the world as part of our lives? When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we put him in our lives, we receive the light that overcomes the darkness of our lives. See, the light didn't need more light, didn't need a different light or refreshed light. They needed, and we need, the light that would expose and reveal the sin of our lives. That would be the way for us. That's the kind of light that we needed. See, the light came in the person of Jesus, and it declares these four things. Number one is that his light remains. Did you know that? His light was not a momentary moment in time. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago, but his light shines today. It's like the nightlight for all eternity. It is a light that shines for all generations. It is a light that is available both to them and to us. It's not just a good story, but it is the light that you and I need in our lives. The word says, and Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not pass away. It will accomplish what it says. And I believe that. His light is the light of the world. Secondly, as his light reveals, his light will show us the areas in our lives that maybe have been hidden. His light will expose the hidden things of our lives. His light is the kind of light that goes into the cracks of our lives and will shine brightly in any darkness that we have. And so whether you've created a story in your head when it comes to what God will know about you, I want you to know his light sees it all. It reveals everything. Next one is that his light restores. Did you know that? Once the light has revealed its purpose, it's not just to expose the sin in our lives. It's not just to show us the things that we need to fix or the things that we need to correct in our lives, but it is about restoration. It is about healing. His light is not just about leaving us there. It is about raising us up and restoring us. It is about taking the broken, the hurting, the lost things in our lives and repairing them and restoring them in our lives. I love that. See, he didn't just come to be a light. He came to be the light that can restore all things. Amen. And then lastly is his light reconciles. I mentioned this last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that God gave us the first gift exchange ever. We give our lives to him and he gave us the gift of relationship with him with all of eternity. But he also gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians declares that while we are reconciled to him in relationship, he asks us then to take on the ministry of reconciliation. That means that it's our responsibility to pass on that light. It's our responsibility to help shine that light in our lives. We're not supposed to keep that light hidden. We're not supposed to make that light just our personal story. But that light, the light that changed our lives, is a light that you and I are supposed to share with the rest of the world. Amen? His light reconciles. I love that. I'm a Lord of the Rings and J.R. Tolkien kind of geek. And one of my favorite scenes in his second movie of Lord of the Rings, the second movie that came out in 2004, was the scene at the end of the movie when one of the heroes said, "Look for me on the fifth day at sunrise." And as the enemy was upon them, there was this great war happening. Their spirits were dampened, and they felt like they would not win. But they remembered the words of their friend, and they looked to the sunrise, and at that moment, the light came, and the light devoured the darkness, and they were victorious. It's a powerful imagery that Tolkien used in all of his writings, but light is about overcoming the darkness in our lives. When we have the light in our lives, it overcomes all the darkness. No darkness can hide from light. I love that, and it's about what we need to do there, and there is darkness all around us. And the core of the message is what is accomplished. Darkness of a fallen world received the light of hope in the person of Jesus. See, the world needed and needs Jesus today. They need the light. And when people see the title of our series or theme of our message here, it is declare that the light has come. If there's darkness in your life, light has come. And that has come in the person of Jesus. And so our part is to be the carriers of that light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 declares, "For who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul describes us as the children of light. And then lastly, in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives the light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." See, once we have the light, our responsibility is to pass it along. And as we close our service today, and celebrating that the light came in Jesus. We're gonna have a candlelight moment and sing one last song, a song you probably all sang growing up called Silent Night. And before we get to that, though, I want to make a quick plea to share with you a story. You're all familiar with John 3:16, right? That God, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, right? We all know that. We've heard that through our whole lives. But did you know that that was part of a discussion that Jesus was having with a rabbi named Nicodemus? It's part of a whole story that we find in John chapter 3, and it's followed by this discussion about light and darkness and the principles that come forward with that. And the fact that Jesus has been sent to be the light of our world, to shine the light over all the darkness for us, is a message for anybody out there that maybe you're here today and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus in your life. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. And it says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it also tells us that the punishment of that sin is that we're out of relationship with God, and that results in death. That's where we're all headed, outside of Jesus. But the Bible tells us that he made a way. He made a way through the person of Jesus. And he said that whosoever believes in him and confess with their mouths that he was raised from the dead and believe in their hearts that he is who God says he is, they will be saved. He is the way, the only way. And maybe you're here today and you have never done that in your life on this Christmas Eve celebration service on this Sunday. I want to give you a chance to do that. And so if you're here today and maybe it's a holiday service for you, we want to make Jesus available to you. We never like to gather and not point you to Jesus, because that's why we do what we do. It's all about him. It's all about him. And so if you're here today, and maybe you have never made that decision. I made that decision when I was 17 years old, heading down a road of my life, and I made a decision to follow Jesus. And I don't want to move so fast over that we can't pause for that. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today and maybe you have never made that decision, just repeat this simple prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I've done things that are wrong. Please forgive me. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again. I ask you now to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I promise to follow you the rest of my life. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look up here. If you made that decision, welcome to the family of God. And what a great day to make that decision. If you made that decision on your way out, I know it's going to be busy and you're all dressed up and you're headed somewhere maybe today. Come this way. We'd love to hear your story. On your way out, stop by, grab one of the pastors. We'd love to share with you. We have a gift for you. We'd love to give you a Bible and a journal and some other things and begin that journey with you of following Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody else to stand. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs called Silent Night. I always joke that when I was in sophomore Spanish class in high school, it was the only thing I remember. They taught us how to sing Silent Night in Spanish. And no, I'm not going to sing it for you today. We're going to sing it together. But as we sing this song, familiar song, I want you to do two things. Number one, think about that night 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born and all that took place as we describe that silent night. And then as you're doing right now, you're sharing the light one from another, passing those flames on. Know that that's what we have been called to do. That's the call of Christmas, to share that light with everybody we know. And remember, as we sing about a prophesied Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, that he's the reconciler of reconcilers. His name is Jesus. Let's sing together, and I'll be back to close this out.